Yeah. Today's Srimad Bhagavatam class will be given by Her Grace Nita Seveni Mataji. Mataji, you are there on the call. Today's topic is Srimad Bhagavatam, verse 4.27.24 onwards. I think Mataji must be there. She's on mute. We are not able to hear. Mataji, you are there on the call.
Mataji is coming. Mataji is coming.
Okay.
Hey, Mataji is here. You can handle
Hare Krishna Mataji. Dandavas Pranam. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Guru Maharaj ki jai. Thank you so much, Mataji, for joining Bhakti conference call and giving your valuable association on this conference call. We are really fortunate to have you on this call, Mataji. And we thank for your valuable time, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
I think Mataji has not joined yet. She's joining from the phone.
Yes. Let's wait, Mataji.
Hare Can Krishna. Welcome Mataji for saying three times Hari Bol. Hari Bol.
Hari Bol. Hari Bol. Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna. Am I audible?
Hare Krishna, yeah, Mataji.
Yes.
Okay. The voice is okay.
Yes, Mataji.
Yes, Mataji.
You have unmuted that, right? It's mute? Okay, leave it. Just can continue this. Okay, you can unmute in that. I'll speak it here because they said voice is okay. So I think we don't need this mic in this. We don't need this mic. So how's the voice now?
Yes, Mataji, we can hear. No, Mataji, we can't hear.
No, there's a
delay.
There's a problem.
Here, okay. I think now the voice is okay.
Yes, Mother.
Yes, Mother.
Perfect. All right, wonderful. Yes. So, are you done with the introductions? Shall we dive into the class?
Yes, Mataji. Thank you so much. You can
okay.
take over the
class. Hi, Hare Krishna. Sorry today for so much delay, but we need to fix one more mic. I'll just start with Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva and we'll just fix one more mic. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayom Dhirai Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavate Uttama Sloke Bhakti श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। Hare Krishna to all the Bhakti Sangha devotees. Thank you very much for joining us today for Srimad Bhagavatam class. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare, Hare, Hare. All right, so today we'll be discussing from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 27, text number 24. I'll be reading the text and translation. Rishabham yavanam tvam yavananam tvam vrine vidapshitam patim sankalpastvai bhutanam krita kila narishyati. Has to be done. Translation and directed by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Approaching the king of Yavanas, Kalakanya addressed him as a great hero, saying, "My dear sir, you are the best of the untouchables. I'm in love with you and I want you as my husband. I know that no one is baffled if he makes friends with you." Purpose. The words Yavananam Rishabham refers to the king of Yavanas. The Sanskrit word Yavana and Lacha apply to those who do not follow the Vedic principles. According to the Vedic principles, one should rise early in the morning, take bath, chant Hare Krishna, offer Mangalarti to the deities, study Vedic literature, take prasad and engage in dressing and decorating the deities. One must also collect money for the temple expenditure. Or if one is a householder, he must go to work in accordance with the prescribed duties of a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra. In this way, one should live a life of spiritual understanding. And this is the Vedic way of civilization. One who does not follow all these rules and regulations is called a Yavana or a Mlecha. One should not mistakenly think that their words refer to certain classes of men in other countries. There is no question of limitation according to nationalism. Whether one lives in India or outside of India, he is called a Yavana or Mlecha if he does not follow the Vedic principle. One who does not actually follow the hygienic principles prescribed in the Vedic rules and regulation will be subjected to many contagious diseases. Because the students in this Krishna conscious movement are advised to follow the Vedic principles, they naturally become hygienic. If a person is Krishna conscious, he can work like a young man, even if he is 75 or 80 years old. Thus, the daughter of Kala cannot overcome a Vaishnava. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami engaged in writing Chaitanya Charitamrita when he was very old. Yet he presented the most wonderful literature about the activities of Lord Chaitanya. Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami began their spiritual lives at a very old age. That is, after they retired from their occupations and family lives. Yet they presented many valuable literatures for the advancement of spiritual life. This is confirmed by Srila Srinivas Acharya, who praised the Goswami in this way. Nana Shastra Vichara Nek Nipuno Sadharma Samsthapako Loka Nam Hitakari No Tribhubane Manyo Saranayakaru Radha Krishna Padara Vinda Bhajanandena Mataliko Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghujugo Shri Jeeva Gopalaku. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Sanatana, Sri Rupa, Sri Raghunatha Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopala Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus, they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. Thus, jara, the effect of old age, does not harass a devotee. This is because a devotee follows the instruction and determination of Narad Muni. All devotees are in the disciplic succession stemming from Narad Muni because they worship the deity according to Narad Muni's direction, namely the Narad Pancharatra or the Pancharatrika Vidhi. A devotee follows the principle of Pancharatrika Vidhi as well as Bhagavat Vidhi. Bhagavat Vidhi includes preaching work, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, the hearing and the chanting of the glories of Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Pancharatrika Vidhi includes Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam and Atmanivedanam. Because a devotee rigidly follows the instruction of Narad Muni, he has no fear of old age, disease or death. Apparently, a devotee may grow old, but he is not subjected to the symptoms of defeat experienced by a common man in old age. Consequently, old age does not make a devotee fearful of death, as common man is fearful of death. When jara or old age takes shelter of a devotee, kalakanya diminishes the devotee's fear. A devotee knows that after death, he is going back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, he has no fear of death. Thus, instead of depressing, a devotee advanced age helps him become fearless and thus happy. So, today we are discussing from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 27. We just read this sloka. I'll read one more time the translation and start the class. Approaching the king of Yavanas, Kalakanya addressed him as a great hero, saying, "My dear sir, you're the best of untouchables. I'm in love with you and I want you as my husband. I know that no one is baffled if he makes friends with you." So, Om Agyanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuranmaitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vancha Kalpataru Bhayasya Kripa Sindhaveva Chapatita Nam Pavaneku Vaishnavekhyo Namo Namaha Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Apne Apne Gurudev Ki Jai Hare Krishna Shishyada Mukha Jagna So, as you all must be discussing this last couple of days, since you are now on the sloka number 24, that how Narad Muni, out of his causeless mercy, is giving very beautiful instructions to King Prachanabharhasha by the allegory of Puranjana. And in this particular context, the story comes to the level of where Puranjana's city is being attacked by Chandavega. And in the previous sloka, Narad Muni is mentioning that how Kalakanya, she... Why is it Lisani? Just mute it off. Kalakanya, in the previous sloka, she approaches Narad Muni, seeking Narad Muni as her husband, and Narad Muni does not accept her. Now we all know Kalakanya here, the daughter of time, is jara, the old age. And because Narad Muni does not accept her, she curses Narad Muni. And then in our present context today here, Narad Muni is explaining that how Kalakanya, the old age, she approached the king of Yavanas, and very affectionately she is telling her that, "My dear sir, kindly accept me as your wife." Now here in purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying that who is a Yavana? He defines who is a Yavana. So he very clearly mentions here that Yavana is not a people belonging to a particular... No, it's okay. It's not a people belonging to a particular country. Or Yavana means those who are not following Vedic culture. As simple as that. So he's saying that, Srila Prabhupada is saying that if somebody is not chanting Hare Krishna, he's not taking Krishna Prasad, if he's not engaging his senses in deity worship or in serving Krishna, then he is a Yavana. It's as simple as that. It's not that somebody who is not living in India is a Mlecha or somebody who is living inside India. So very clearly he mentions here that those who are not following Vedic principles are Mlechas. And then in the second para, Srila Prabhupada is saying that if a person is Krishna conscious, even at the old age, he can work like a young man. So here we see that Jara is moving around all the three worlds and asking everybody, please accept me. Now, even if you don't accept it, everybody has to pass through through Jara, right? It's like Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi. Everybody passes through it. But Prabhupada is saying that those who are devotees, they're transcendental to that. Even if they become old, even if somebody is devotee, they have to become old. Their body will age. But it will not disturb their Krishna consciousness. Even if they are an 80-year-old man, they can work as a young man. So this is something Prabhupada is telling. You know, we can see a vivid example in Prabhupada's own life. He was an 80-year-old man, but traveling around the world and preaching Krishna consciousness with such enthusiasm. And then Prabhupada gives example of how when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami at a very old age writes Chaitanya Charitamritam, we all know, was maybe 94 or something like that. And then he gives example of Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami of how at very old age they took up to Krishna consciousness. And then how they wrote so many scriptures at that ripe old age. And then he gives this Sarada Goswami Astakam by Srinivas Acharya, explaining that all the Goswamis, even till the far end of their life, were practicing Krishna consciousness with full enthusiasm. That means Jara or the old age does not affect devotees. Then in the last para, Prabhupada says that Jara does not harass a devotee. See, we see even in the lives of our own ISKCON gurus and sannyasis, like we see in the life of His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj, how though he was affected by stroke and disease, but it did not stop his preaching. So this Jara cannot disturb devotees' preaching. Their preaching spirit continues. They at any situation in life, whether it is a disease or whether any kind of a problem they face, they don't give up the spirit of preaching, and nothing can stop them. You see, we recently see in the life of His Holiness Bhaktacharya Swami Maharaj, though he was very old, I think he was 74 or 75 something, but the spirit was so young. He at this age, in fact, even the youngsters are little worried that in this situation of pandemic, whether we should go out or not. But even in that old age also, he has so much enthusiasm that I want to preach for Krishna. So Prabhupada here rightly says that neither old age or nothing can affect a devotee. He will go on his mission. They are so spirited because we are all followers of Narad Muni. That's what he says. Because we come in the disciplic succession of Narad Muni, just like Narad Muni said no to Jara and he continued his preaching. Similarly, those who are devotees, even outwardly, even though we see they're getting aged or they're getting old, but at that very, they are different from the Karmi people or the materialistic people. When they get old and devotees get old, there is a lot of difference. So here Prabhupada is explaining that just like, you know, you go and meet a materialistic common man who's old, and you go and ask him how you are. You know, his whole explanation about life is so different. You know, he'll say, oh, nowadays I'm having a pain in my knee. And I have a pain in my back. I'm not able to digest my food. Nowadays nobody comes and visits me. I'm so lonely. My son didn't call me. Completely their thinking, their complaints, their expectations from life is so different. But if you see in the devotee's life, they're always happy. Like even if at the fag end of life, or even if they are attacked by any disease and all, that their spirit is so lively because they're so connected to Krishna. You see the last line Prabhupada says in this purport, instead of being depressed, a devotee who in the advanced age becomes fearless and thus happy. This is such an amazing point, that those who are devotees of the Lord, instead of getting depressed by the old age, they're so enthusiastic. So I was just thinking that, you know, yesterday I was reading this very beautiful book by His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj, Many Moons. You must have read that book. And in that he explains about the death of different devotees, the passing away or the disappearance of different devotees of ISKCON. You know, he explains about Jayanand Prabhu and about Kirtida Mataji, Achyavigraha Mataji, about Sridhar Swami Maharaj, Gol Govinda Swami Maharaj. Kamal Krishna Maharaj, how they all left their bodies. Such an interesting book. If you haven't read that, you must read it. It is so hope-giving book. And in that, yesterday I was reading a particular story of Kirtida Mataji. She's a disciple of His Holiness Kamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. I think she was suffering from cancer or something like that. So in her final days, Kamal Krishna Maharaj asked her that, what are your views about leaving the body? You know, what is your feeling at this moment? And she said that, I'm very excited to know what's going to happen on the other side of it. So she said, I'm excited to go. Because, see, for devotees, because they know that the other side that they are going, there is somebody whom they know. So they're excited about it. We also hear in the life of His Holiness, Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, I heard somebody saying that every day, when he had cancer, fourth stage cancer, and every day that he used to get up in the morning, he used to say, oh, today also I haven't gone to Krishna. Oh, I stayed back, is it? Now I'm paraphrasing it. I don't know what exactly he said, but that's what it meant. And he was like, "Arey, today also I didn't go back to Krishna. I stayed back one more day away from Krishna." And I thought, that was amazing. So for devotees, death is not a full stop. For them, it's a comma. It's a comma. There's so much more to their story, right? For them, a death is not a miserable termination. It is a positive, welcoming transition. Because now they know they'll give up this body and take up another body, or will be directly, you know, serving Krishna in Krishna's dham in one way or the other. I thought that was so beautiful. And you know, for devotees, it is something like, you know, when a girl is getting married, you know, you see that last ceremony, the girl will be crying, hugging her parents and mother and father. But you know what's going on inside the girl's mind? She's very excited because she's going to go to her husband's house, new place, you know, new life. It's going to be very interesting, right? So she's very excited about it. Yeah, she does cry because she's going to miss her parents. So same thing happens with devotee. Maybe we can see them shedding a tear or so that they are going to leave the association of devotees in this world. But at the same time, they're so excited because they know wherever they are going, Krishna is always with them, and they'll be engaged in the service of Krishna in some or the other way. Right? See, for the devotee, it is something like Prabhupada puts it always. For devotees, it is like a lion. When the lion, you know, holds the scruff of the neck of the cub is so relaxed, and you know, the cub loses all tension because the cub knows that I'm safe in the mouth of my mother. So same thing with the devotees. When the death appears, the devotee is so relaxed because he knows I'm safe, because this death is the mouth of my father, Krishna, and I'm safe here. So devotee is not worried of death. So now, this sounds very nice, sounds very sweet, but how do we achieve it? How do we come to that level where when Kala Kanya approaches us, the old age approaches us, or death approaches us, how can we be that like we see the other devotees there? So what are we supposed to do? There is a process which we need to follow. We need to cultivate it. We need to cultivate some kind of a relationship with Krishna. And if we cultivate it over a period of time, then, you know, we will become fearless, as Prabhupada put it, that even at the time of death, we will be fearless and happy. Right? Now, how do you cultivate it? See, if you see in the past, you know, in the 1920s and 1910s, you know, the girls, they used to get married very early. Maybe the age of 7 or 8, they used to get married. Now, when they used to get married, they never even knew what is the meaning of marriage, frankly. But what used to make them feel very exciting about getting married is the new clothes they will get to wear, and the sweets, and the mehendi on the hand, and the flowers in the head, and the new clothes, and the attention that everybody will be giving on them because it's their marriage. But they really don't even know what it is to get married. But then, after the marriage happens, See, even in those days when there were child marriages, the children, I mean, after marriage, the girl doesn't go to the husband's house. She stays with her parents. And after she comes to a mature age, then is where she starts living with her husband. So now what happens, in the interim time, the husband's family, they keep coming to the girl's family on festivals, on occasions. And at that time, the mother trains the girl. Come on, go and give samosas to your husband. Come on, go and serve some tea or coffee. And the girl, being very young, she doesn't even have any attachment towards the husband. She'll say, I don't like him. I don't want to serve him. I don't want to go. Is it not? It happens. But then the mother trains her. No, don't say that. It's not good. He's your husband. You should serve him. It doesn't matter. Go and put the samosa in front of him. Go and take this. And she keeps on hearing about her husband, right? So even if she doesn't like the mother, the relatives, the aunts, they'll go on telling her, you know, that, you know, your husband has farms. He'll take care of you nicely. He's a nice boy. And then what happens over a period of time, when the girl comes to the age, you know, 18, 19, when she's quite mature, now she likes the husband. Because now she understands what is the relationship. And then she's sent off to the husband's house. Now, the same thing happens in our life. When we get initiated, half of the time, we don't even know what are we getting initiated for. The whole purpose of getting initiated is to develop a relationship with Krishna. But what we are excited about is the new name we are going to get. And everybody's going to ask us, what's your initiated name? And the ambience in the temple. And oh my God, all the recognition that even now, I'm also an initiated devotee, right? That's about it. But only after a couple of years, after initiation, as we practice seriously, we understand with maturity, what are we trying to achieve? By this whole thing, we're trying to develop a relationship with Krishna, a serious relationship, a sweet and everlasting relationship. So it needs to be cultivated, just like the girl was taught to love her husband. This is how we need to teach ourselves. We need to train ourselves. Once we do that, then the death or the jara is going to become a happy process. Right? We need to do that. And for that, there are a lot of steps we need to follow. So one thing is, you do shravanam, you hear about Krishna, just like the girl heard about her husband and got attached. You do shravanam, you do kirtanam. And once you do a very good shravanam and kirtanam, then what happens? Smaranam, right? Then you have smaranam. Now, what is smaranam? Smaranam means remembering Krishna. I always put it in my classes that if you don't want to become a remember of this material world, then you remember Krishna. You know, you can keep this line in your phones, you know. If you don't want to become a remember of this material world, then you remember Krishna. So you do shravanam, you do kirtanam, you remember. And that way you cultivate your love for the second thing that a devotee can practice doing is detach, attach. This is one formula I'm giving. Detach, attach. That means you are attached, but you are detached to that attachment. So there's something like, you know, see, we are from Gujarat. And, you know, in Gujarat, they have this very beautiful festival of kite flying. And when they have this festival of kite flying during Sankranti, now you should see the passion with which they will fly the kite. Everybody, that the kite may cost maybe 30, 40 rupees. But for them, it is their life and soul. You know, if somebody cuts it, they feel as if they have got cut. You know, that much enthusiastically they fly the kite. They cut each other's kite. But you know, the very next moment, when the kite gets cut by the other person's kite, you know, they just take up the rope, the thread, and tie another kite and start flying it again. So that is a policy of detach, attach. That means when you do your work, you do it with complete attachment. You want 100% result. You are completely focused. But at the same time, you are detached. Even if it doesn't work out, you are detached. So at that moment, you give your 100%, but you don't carry it in your mind. You just give your 100%, you leave it. This is something like, you know, let's say if somebody is doing a role in a drama. Let's say he's Ravan. He has all 10 heads and he's killed by Ram. And then, you know, the drama is over. Everybody's clapping hand. The Ravan Dahan or the Ravan killing has happened. And the curtains close. What happens next? The Ravan gets up, changes his clothes and goes home. Now, he doesn't sit and cry behind the stage that, oh, I died. Because he knows he didn't die. He just needs to change his clothes and go home. So it's, I mean, life is as simple as that. When somebody is a devotee, then he understands that death is not a full stop. It's just a comma in my life. And the picture, abhi baki hai, the story will still go on because there's no end to my soul, right? It will keep continuing. The story keeps continuing. In fact, in this regard, I feel children are more smarter. In Vizag, we have a beach and we see many small children on the Sunday evenings. They build up so many houses and they make all kinds of structure in the sand. But by 6:37, when it's dark and the parents say, now it's over, let's go home. And they're ready to go home. You know, they have done that making of that house with utmost details and they've given their 100%. But when it's time to go, they're ready to go. They just, you know, wash off their hands in the water and they're ready to go. So if that attitude we can develop in our life, we do what we are doing 100%. But when it's time to go, it's time to go. You just leave it. You wash your hands and you're ready to go. So this is one thing as devotees we can develop is detach, attach. The second tip, how to make your old age or death a happy process is settle your accounts in this lifetime. Don't carry forward. You settle it here. You know? If there is something that you want to give to somebody, if there is something that somebody is expecting from you, just give it to that person. Don't carry forward. You know, sometimes we hurt people by our mind, words, deeds. Sometimes there is something we owe. Sometimes there are people who are having some kind of an expectation towards us. And if we don't settle the accounts in this lifetime, then definitely we'll have to take birth again to finish up those accounts. So this is one thing as devotees we can do is settle our accounts. Eh? Now, why aren't we able to settle our accounts or why aren't we able to give people, without any expectation, give wholeheartedly is because we think we are permanent in this world. Because we have that tendency, in fact, we firmly believe that we are permanent in this world. And that stops us from becoming, you know, open-hearted or becoming generous because we think this belongs to me and I'm going to keep it with me for the rest of my life. But we don't know we are temporary. See, I remember when I was in my intermediate, I read one very interesting book. It's called When the World Collides. I'm not very sure about the title of the book, but as far as I remember, it was When the World Collides. It was a fiction. And the story of the book goes like the scientists and the astronauts have discovered that there is a planet which is coming close to Earth. And anytime the planet is going to collide with Earth and everybody's going to die. So when this news comes up, people don't believe it. But lo and behold, after 6 months, they actually see a red glow which is coming close and they can see it in the sky. And when they can see it, and then the scientists come up with more research, the astronauts, and they say this is coming in a high speed. And the way it is coming, maybe another maximum 1 or 2 months and it should collide with Earth and we all will die. Now, the moment they actually saw, you know, they could see that red glow, they all became, you know, they all now had faith that it's going to happen and we will die. And the moment they started believing that they're going to die, all of their attitudes completely changed. Now, everybody wanted to give other person because they said, anyway, I'm going to die. So all those people who had lots of money in their bank accounts, they just opened up the accounts and started distributing money. All the restaurants put up a board, come and eat free of cost because it's what will we do even we take money from you? The husband and wife who were divorced, they again came back together. Oh, let's live together. Anyway, we are going to die. And the children who were not taking care of the old parents, they came back. Oh, anyway, we are going to die. And the jailers, they left all the prisoners. Go and spend some time with your family. Anyway, you are going to die. So the whole atmosphere became so loving. And nobody was locking the doors anymore in the house because what will we do by stealing? Anyway, we are going to die. So everything became so loving. Everybody's just giving love to each other. It was so beautiful. And then after a few days, the astronaut said that, it looks like there is a confusion and this globe is no more coming near to the Earth. It looks like it's just going far away from Earth. And now you can guess what must have happened. Well, everybody was like, where is my money? Oh my God, where is my... And everything changed. You just see, the single element of selflessness can make this whole world a heaven. And a single element of selfishness can make this whole world a hell, right? So now everything changed. So this is one thing which we can adopt in our life, is to become selfless, and that is possible if we are in constant remembrance that we are not, Ramkrishna can close that door, that we are not permanent in this world. If we keep reminding ourselves and reinforcing that thought in our mind that we are not permanent in this world, then it will be so easily able to give up our enmity, give up our enviousness, give up all our anarthas. Like Bhaktivedanta Maharaj always put it in his lectures, he says, die before you die. Die before you die. That means kill your bad habits before you die. Adopt some good habits. Adopt the habit of giving. That is one thing also which will make our death very beautiful, is if we can learn, or if we can cultivate this habit of giving. Giving more than what people are expecting from us. You know, something like exceeding the expectations. Just learn to give. Learn to give. You have to switch off. You have to learn to give, right? Like it is rightly said that to create a relationship, you need to give. To sustain a relationship, you need to forgive. So if we can adopt this in our life, give and forgive. So just settle our accounts with people. If there is anything they are expecting from us, just give it to them, forgive. Try to get rid of anarthas, try to get rid of bad habits. If all this we can apply in our life, then when the old age comes and then when the death comes close, we'll be more prepared to face it. The other thing that we can do is fix our goal, which is so important. We are so confused. We are not sure what we want ourselves. We are so confused. See, sometimes we hear some lecture, we are very inspired. And we want to become a pure devotee. And the very next moment, we hear somebody talking about how to do pranayama and yoga. And we are very inspired. Oh, very nice. I should do yoga. And then we heard somebody else giving a lecture, how to become a successful entrepreneur. And we are very inspired. Wow, I should become a successful. We're not sure what we want to do. Our goal keeps changing. Our inspiration and motivation also keeps changing. You hear some good lecture, you are inspired, and that's about it. So we shouldn't be so confused about life. Because somewhere we need to have a proper goal. Okay, this is my goal and this is where I'm directed to. The problem with us is we are so confused. We ourselves don't know what we want. I'll give you a day-to-day life example which will prove how confused we are. Sometimes you see ladies, they have, let's say, newly born children, or maybe very little children, 3, 4, 5 years old. Sometimes they leave the child with the mother-in-law. They have to go out in a party or something. They leave the child with mother-in-law. They'll come home and ask the mother-in-law after the whole thing is over, so how is my son doing? Did he cry? But the mother-in-law says, yeah, he cried. He was crying for you. Where is my mother? Where is my mother? Then the lady feels so bad. Why did I go for this party? I shouldn't have gone for the party. Unnecessary, my child cried for me. She's feeling bad. Now suppose if the mother-in-law says, actually your child did not cry. He didn't even remember you. He was so happy with you. Then also she becomes unhappy. I take care so nicely of my child, changing diapers, giving so much love and affection. And I wasn't there for 3, 4 hours and he never even asked for me. What is this? Now, that's our problem. We are so confused, we don't know what we want. If the child cried for you also, you're very unhappy and guilty. If the child didn't cry for you also, you're very unhappy because you feel that the child has not reciprocated your love. So I'm just giving you one small tiny example. This is how our life is. Every single moment we are confused. We don't know what we want. So we should fix up a goal. What do you want in life? You want to be Krishna's devotee, then just fix it up and start working in that direction. If you say my goal is A, and then you start working in direction B, and then you say, why am I not able to go to A, then that's, nobody can help you. So this is one thing we can do, is fix up your goal. And second thing is chant and practice. Chant and practice. Practice, because when the death finally comes, when the old age comes, we don't know what will be our physical situation. If we had practiced enough, then at that moment, no matter what, see, like we see in the life of His Holiness Bhaktisarva Swami Maharaj, this is a recent example that he was in such a situation, right? Where there are all non-devotees surrounding him, somewhere in America, and such a kind of a situation, all the doctors and we, you know, nobody could even be next to him. But then nothing to worry, because he is a pure devotee. And even though if he was in that situation with all the tubes and everything, he had not forgotten Krishna even for a second. We all know that, because he's a pure devotee of the Lord. Because that is what he's been doing whole life. Whole life he's been remembering Krishna and reminding others of Krishna. So that is how he lived his life. So there was nothing to worry. So even if he had to live his life in that kind of a situation, that's all right. For a devotee, every situation is okay, because he has cultivated it over a period of time. Because he has made his life in such a way that no matter what happens or what situation that he has to leave his body, Krishna is with him. He has not forgotten Krishna even for a second. So we need to, you know, we need to prepare ourselves for that situation, because as devotees, we can't expect that always that we'll die in a very beautiful situation, in a hospice, or in a situation where devotees are singing bhajans and we have a frame of Radha Damodar in our hand. It may not be possible. But if we can make our heart in such a way and carry Krishna everywhere, that wherever we go, in whatever situation, we will remember Krishna. So we need to be prepared. Like in the Kevalashtakam, Nilakanta Goswami says, Nishvase nahi vishvaso kadarundho bhavishyati kirtaniya mato balya hare nameva kevalam. Nishvase nahi vishvaso. When you breathe out, you're not sure that the very next moment, are you able to be breathe again. We don't know. Once the life air leaves, will you be able to breathe again or not? We are not sure. Nishvase nahi vishvase. There's no surety. That is why those who are intelligent, kirtaniya mato balya, they will start practicing chanting the names of Krishna from a very young age. So that any time, you know, any kind of a situation comes, they won't forget Krishna. So we need to practice it. See, there are some devotees, maybe for them it comes naturally, spontaneously. But maybe for the rest of us, we need to practice. We need to cultivate love for Krishna. I remember when I was newly married. So, you know, I was so used to, I guess it stands true with everybody that if you get hurt, if you trip or fall, or if just anything happens, you have that habit of saying, mummy, you know, like mom or mama or amma or, you know, whatever your language is. I guess it's with everybody, especially when you are children, you know, you just fall something. The first, if you fall or trip and fall, the first thing that you come out from your mouth will be mama. So, I mean, when I got newly married, the same with me, you know, for everything, you know, that used to come out, you know, I used to just remember my mother. And then my husband pointed it out to me a couple of times. He said, how come Krishna doesn't come out? How come mama comes out? So, and then I consciously practiced it. So every time, you know, mama comes out, and I used to replace it with, no, Krishna has to come out. Krishna has to come out. But now I don't have to do it consciously. It just comes out unconsciously. So only Krishna will come out. So cultivated it. So we have to cultivate it. In small little ways you can cultivate it. Like for example, you can make some rules in your house, you know. You put on a switch, you put on a light, say Govinda. Let's say you just drink water, you say Govinda. Or let's say somebody puts a bell and you have to, you know, open the door, you just say Govinda. So like that, if you just make certain rules in your house, very simple tips, then you can keep remembering Krishna and Govinda all the time. So it has to be cultivated. One another tip to see that our old age and death happens happy is reading scriptures. Because when we read scriptures, then this thought or this truth, this absolute truth is reinforced in our mind that we are temporary in this world. This world does not belong to us. Right? So if we keep on reading scriptures regularly, if we keep on reading Srimad Bhagavatam, because the material world situation is like that. Sometimes you just get carried away by people around you because they have different materialistic goals and you are associating with them. So you never know when your goals start changing. But if you read scriptures regularly, then the scriptures remind you of the futility of the fruitive activities. the scriptures remind you that you are not permanent in this world, right? You see, what scriptures does is removes ignorance. And when the ignorance is removed, then you can see things as they are. As of now, we all are wearing a kind of a spectacles. Somebody wears a red color spectacle, somebody wears a blue color spectacle. So whatever color spectacles you wear, that is what you see. Now that spectacles can be removed and the original correct spectacles will come to you when you read scriptures, the Jnana Chakshu. You can then see everything with knowledge. You know, Narsi Mehta, in his bhajan, he says one very beautiful thing. He says, Jagine jyoti jagat dise nahi andhamat prabha udabhase chitta chaitanya. Very, very beautiful meaning. He says, Jagine jo to jagat di se nahi. When I wake up and I open my eyes, then I can see that all this world is useless. But when I'm sleeping, then I feel this world is so beautiful. You know, that means when I'm in illusion, then everything in this world looks so beautiful. I just want to stay back in this world. But when I wake up, that means when I wake up from the from my ignorance, then this whole world I can see as it is. I can understand, oh, this is hopeless. Right? Something like, you see, if somebody sees a, you know, let's say a human or a beautiful lady, for dog, you know, he will see it in a different vision. For a man, he may see it in a different vision. For a lion, he may see it as a food. This is my food. That means it depends upon what chakshu have you developed. If you have developed the chakshu of intelligence because of scriptures, if you have developed the chakshu of bhakti because of scriptures and association, oh, you will see the things as they are supposed to be seen. Then you will see everything in this material world is temporary and you will not get attached. So these are certain tips which we need to work on. So I said Shravanam and Kirtanam, and gradually cultivate love for Krishna. One other point I said, detach, attach. So you are attached, but with detachment. And then you settle your accounts with people in this world now, this lifetime, and don't carry it forward. And then I said, die before you die. Give up your bad habits. Cultivate your good, cultivate good habits. And then I said, fix your goal. Fix your goal. And then I also said, chant and practice. If you practice to remember Krishna. See, you know, when you learn yoga, you know, the yoga masters, no, they'll tell you, see, if you do just like that yoga, it will not be effective. You have to do breathing in and breathing out with yoga. They'll tell you, when you put your hand, come on, breathe in. Then you put your hand up, breathe out. But I'll tell you, for the neophytes, it's very difficult. If you are concentrating on your breathing, then you'll forget. Upper side of hand, you'll forget how to put my hand up or down. But for the expert yoga masters, they're just doing it everything simultaneously. They're putting their hand up and down and they're also concentrating on the breathing. Why did they become expert? Because they practiced it over a period of time. That's what we need to do. We don't have to stop our activities in this world. We need to continue with our business. We need to continue with our activities. But what we need to do is, just like the expert yoga master does 1, 2, 3 with the breathing, we do 1, 2, 3 in our business with the breathing. And that breathing is Krishna. That means you do your business, but you remember Krishna all the time. Right? All the time. It's like, you know, the other day, there's one student who was, you know, sent me a mail and he said that, I get so frustrated, Mataji, when I have to study this quantum physics and this is left and that is left in the syllabus and exam is coming. And, you know, I get so frustrated. I was saying that, you know, just do one thing. Just add Krishna to it. You know, whenever you are studying, you just tell that, I'm studying this for Krishna. Just for you, Krishna, I'm studying. Because if I study, then I'll get a degree. If I get a degree, then I'll get a job. And if I get a job, I'll get money. And if I get money, I can contribute for you. So look, Krishna, this is all thing for you. Now everything becomes Krishna conscious. You just need to add Krishna, right? So if a housewife is cooking, she just adds Krishna. Krishna, I'm cooking for you. You see, all these varieties I'm making for you. A student says, Krishna, I'm working. I'm studying for you. A businessman says, Krishna, look, I'm taking so much headache just for you. Look, just for you. Otherwise, I'm fine. I have to do something for you. I have to serve you, Krishna, with my money. So that is why I'm working for you. So now if all the time you're in constant that kind of a meditation, then you're studying, you're cooking, your business, everything becomes a love affair with Krishna. Because you're doing it for him. You're just doing it for him all the time. And you're remembering him all the time. Then it becomes bhakti, right? Because many people nowadays, you know, they have this question. How do I balance my spiritual life and my material life? And I was hearing other day a class by His Holiness Jayaprataka Swami Maharaj, and 100 times devotees have been asking him this question in the last 4 months of lockdown, and every time he's giving the same answer. Why do you say you have to balance between the spiritual and material, you know? Why do you have to have two lives? Why can't you have only spiritual life? Why do you think this is material and this is spiritual? No, there's nothing material because you are Krishna's devotee. You're wearing kanti, you have the love. You're remembering Krishna. You're chanting Krishna. You're doing everything for Krishna. Why do you say this is material and this is spiritual? So your business is also spiritual. Your chanting is spiritual. Your reading is spiritual. Your cleaning the house is spiritual. Your cooking is spiritual. Your studying is spiritual. Your driving is spiritual. Your construction is spiritual. Everything is spiritual. Just add Krishna to it. So there is no question of balancing spiritual and material life. The question is, add Krishna to it. Now, this sounds very simple, but it's not easy. So as I said, practice, practice, and practice. See, in the 1700s, there was this very famous man, Beethoven. I think you all know Beethoven, and he was very expert in playing the piano. So at one of his stage programs he was giving, one young girl walked up to him for his autograph, and then she asked, "Will I ever be able to play piano like you? You do it so well." And then Beethoven said, "Definitely you will be able to play piano just like me if you practice for 18 hours a day for 40 years. You can definitely play it like me." So what he was trying to say is that, look, Beta, what you are seeing me today playing piano is not that I just came off on the stage and did it. I practiced it for 40 years, 18 hours every day. Then I got this perfection, right? So imagine, if a materialistic person for some materialistic achievement like playing a piano can work so hard, only then he can become expert, then why do we think as devotees that going back to Goloka Vrindavan is maybe just like going to a, you know, some park or... Okay. So, I think generator... Check the information. So, why do we think that it's like going to a park or something like that? Okay. No problem. It takes a minute. So why do we think that going to Goloka Vrindavan is maybe like taking a train and going to, you know, Aurangabad or Allahabad? It's not like that. We really need to work on that. So we need to work hard. So with that, I would like to culminate my lecture today, and we already summarized the points. So for a devotee, you know, the last statement I would like to make is, whether he dies or whether he's alive or in whatever situation he is, he's always happy because he's connected to Krishna. You know, we remember this very beautiful story many times Prabhupada has told in his lectures. He's told about Narad Muni, how he visits four different people and he gives four different blessings. When Narad Muni visits, say, a king, you know, the king and the queen want Narad Muni to bless their prince. So Narad Muni says, "Rajaputra, Rajaputra, Chiranjeeva, Chiramjeeva, may you live long life." And then when Narad Muni goes to a Muni's ashram, and there when he blesses the Muni Putra, he says, "Muni Putra, Muni Putra, Majiva." And then when he sees a butcher, then he says that, ma jiva ma mara. And when he sees a Vaishnava, he says jiva va marova. And then Prabhupada goes on to explain that when Narad Muni blessed the Rajaputra, the prince, he said that may you live a long life. Because what Narad Muni was trying to say is that this Rajaputra, the Kshatriyas, they are so much engaged in sense enjoyment that... he's not become God conscious. He's not God conscious. He hasn't done anything for his next life. So the moment he's going to leave this body, we don't know which animal body he will take or which planet he will go to. So that is when Narad Muni is blessing, my dear son, you better live for a long time. Chiranjeeva, don't die, because we don't know what's your next destination. But same thing, Narad Muni, when he blesses a Muni Putra, he says, Ma Jeeva, you better die. Because Narad Muni says that you are living such an austere life in Guru's ashram, getting up in the morning, serving the Guru and Guru Patni, cleaning the ashram. You're working so hard. Your next destination is going to be very beautiful. Back home, back to God. It's a Majiva. Better you have a short duration of life. You die quickly because you're going to get a better place. And then when he tells a butcher, Majiva Mamara, better you don't live, better you don't die. Because if you live, you're killing others. And if you die, you will be killed by others. You have to go to hell. So better you don't live, you don't die. And then when he meets a Vaishnava, he says, Jivova Marova. Whether you live or die, this doesn't make any difference. Because while you live, you'll be serving Krishna here. And when you die, you'll serve Krishna there. So it doesn't make any difference. That is why we say that for Vaishnavas, we never said they die. Because Vaishnavas, they don't die. When they are here, they serve Krishna. And when they leave, in some other planet, in some other form, they're always serving Krishna. So our goal is to become a Vaishnava. A good Vaishnava, and constantly remember Krishna, practice to become good devotees, cultivate love for Krishna. Then when the final exam comes, the final death comes, then we will be successful. Right? We'll be successful. We need to constantly pray, and we need to practice. Even to have a beautiful death, we need to constantly pray to Krishna. I remember when I was young in the school, there was this one very famous Hindi bhajan singer. And he used to sing this very beautiful bhajan. I remember my father used to always keep playing it at home. You know, he says, Itna to karna swami, jab pran tan se nikle. The devotee is telling Krishna, I'm just requesting you this. When I leave my body, can you do this for me? And what is he requesting Krishna? He says, Ganga ji ka tat ho, Yamuna ka vamsi vat ho, Mera sagara nikat ho, Jab pran tan se nikle. He's telling Krishna, I'm not asking much. Maybe it should be bank of Ganga. Okay, otherwise let it be bank of Yamuna. Vamsi vat. And you should be next to me. This is what I'm asking. And then it's a very beautiful bhajan. I mean, I can go on and on. We'll see the time. And where on, he keeps explaining what he wants. And he says that, Pitambari kasi ho. Said, when you come to me, Krishna, you should have a yellow color cloth. That is what I'm expecting. Mere man mein ye chhabi ho. And not that you are standing, but my stupid mind is staying somewhere else or thinking about my children and my property and my wife. Mere man mein ye chhabi ho. You are standing and even my mind is occupied by you. This is what I'm asking you, Krishna. Mere man mein ye chhabi ho. Then he says that even in my mouth, there should be tulsi leaf. In my mind, it should be you. And even when they burn my body, the wood should be from the trees in Vrindavan. And he very mockingly tells Krishna that, Usvatta Jalviyana. Said that, Krishna, kindly come on time, okay? Don't be late. Because there's no guarantee, you know. So what you did with Draupadi, she had to be like embarrassed for so long, and then afterwards you came. Of course, he protected her, but you know, he didn't immediately come. She had to wait and pray, oh Krishna, please come. She said, Us vakt jaldi aana, nahi shaam bhool jaana, Radhe ko saath laana. It's so beautiful. He says that, look, come on time and bring Radharani with you and don't forget. And when do you think a devotee can give like this instruction to Krishna? If he has sufficiently remembered Krishna whole life, then he can actually order Krishna. Look, don't forget at that time. Okay, come on time. He says, please come on time. And then it's very beautiful. He says that, Ek bhakt ki hai arzi, aage tumhari marzi. Okay, this is my request. I'm requesting you. Okay, your marzi. Rest is up to you. I don't know whether you want to come or not. And then he tells another line. Hey, but look, you can't ignore me totally because that is your duty also. For those who have worshipped you whole life, You can't do that, okay? That's your duty. It ends such a beautiful way. It has many, many paragraphs. And this is what, and then he says, it bhakti ki hai arsi. As a devotee, this is what I'm asking you. So we should pray also, right? Along with all the steps that we follow, reading scriptures, chanting, associating with devotees, trying to work on our anarthas, we should also constantly pray to Krishna. Krishna, please be there in my mind. Don't leave my hand. And be there when I give that final exam. Mm-hmm. So when we keep praying, then finally, you know, Krishna will be like, all right, he's been praying for a long time now. Yes, I'll be there. Okay, so this is the end of class here. So this is what happens with Kala Kanya. She's asking the king of Yavanas that you please kindly marry me. You know, and that she's been asking everybody. She's been asking everybody that please marry me. And in Purport Prabhupada is saying that, you know, devotees are, you know, transcendental to death or old age or disease, and they're always happy. So with this, we end the class here. Thank you so much, everybody. I'll open it up for questions, if any. Thank you so much, Srila Prabhupada, Vicky, Chai.
Yeah. Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, Augusta Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very beautiful class, Mataji. And I also used to hear the same bhajan always, like, you know, Radhe ko saath lada. It's so nice, Mataji. But Mataji, my question is, like, when you are in the association of with the association of devotees, and we are with the deities, and you know, devotees are chanting, so you will also chant. But when you are in the hospital and all the nurses and doctors and only you and your mind, so it's very hard, Mataji. I last week I had my MRI, and I remember His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj, how he's going through, and all the only one lady was with me, and I was there, and nobody was there. Even they didn't allow my husband to come inside the hospital also. He said, go, you go and sit in the car. So I was struggling, you know. And I was remembering nonsense what I had in, like, you know, first, second grade or third grade or something like that. And it was like, you know, it's happening right now. It was like, and when I came out, nothing was there. So I said, what is this going on? So what to deal with that, Mataji?
All right. So what I understand in short, your question is that it is easily said than done, but when you are in a hospital in this kind of a situation, how can you remember, you know, Krishna? Let me give you an example. I think as housewives, you all must have gone through this sometime or the other in your life. Has it ever happened to you that sometime you lost the key of your almara, or you just misplaced it somewhere? It happens to you, right? And you know what happens when you misplace your keys or something? I'll tell you. You will do all your work, but your mind will be on the key only. So you will cook for your children, but in the mind you'll be thinking, where did I keep that key? Somewhere the key should have been. You will pack the carriage for your husband, but you'll be thinking, where is that key? I don't know where I kept it. Somebody will call you, you will go and pick up the phone, but you'll be seeing there also, okay, where is my key? I must have kept it somewhere here. Now what will happen? The sabji wala will come, the doodh wala will come, you do all your work. You will not stop your work. You will cook. You will do whatever it is. But in the back of your mind, there is only one thing. Even if you go inside the bedroom, now you start looking below the bed. Did I put my key here? You go to bathroom also, and you will say, did I put my key in the bathroom? Now, what is happening? You're not stopping your work. But at the same time, the key is so much in your mind. Now, this is what happens when a devotee cultivates loving Krishna over a period of time. Yeah. It's not that he'll stop doing his work. He'll be working. But Krishna will be there in his mind, subconscious mind, all the time. All the time he'll remember Krishna. Right? So how do we come to that stage? Yes, this is the only mantra. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam in association. And over the period of time, you know, see, like, many times I gave this example that if there is a magnet and then there is an iron, you bring the magnet close to iron, and after a long association with the iron, even the iron gets the qualities of magnet. I think day before yesterday only I was teaching my younger son something in physics. They have two types of, you know, magnet and how you can make something into magnet. You can put a coil and then it will turn into magnet, electric magnet. They have something like that. And I was able to relate it. I said, that is how the devotee's life is. Over a period of time, because you are connecting to Krishna, connecting to devotees, connecting to Harinam, connecting to Seva, over a period of time, you may not be a magnet, but you will become a magnet. You will become a magnet, right? So that's about it. So if we continuously keep associating, then no matter what kind of situation that we are put in our lives, maybe we are in a hospital with all kinds of tubes in our, but we will become Krishnaized. We won't be able to forget Krishna even for a moment. But again, it has to be cultivated over a period of time. It has to be cultivated. And it will happen. It will happen for sure. Sometimes you see, it's just that we need to put our 100% endeavor. And then Krishna will give the result. We may not be capable of becoming Krishnaized. But if we are trying 100%, then out of his causeless mercy, Krishna may actually bless us and make sure that we remember him all the time. Other day in one of my lectures, I was giving this example that, you know, when you are in a boxing ring, there are 13 rounds of, you know, boxing. In a boxing match. Now, you may get defeated. Every time you may get defeated, the opponent may just, give you all kind of blows and you may get defeated. But the whole point is that after every round, if you get up, and then again you get up, and then again you get up. And that is what the referee is looking at. You know, you will fall down, you get all blows, and then the referee will again whistle. 1, 2, 3, do you want to get up? And then you get up, and then you get up. And somehow if you survive those 13 rounds of boxing match, at the end, it is the referee who decides who won the match, whether you won it or the opposing part. This is how our life is, because Maya will keep blowing, you know, giving us blow all the time, and we fall down. And then we again get up, and then we fall down. But what Krishna is going to see is that he's going to look that this guy tried. He fall down, but he again tried, he again got up. He fall down, but he again tried. And then we never know that at the end of this 13 rounds, or let's say in our life, at the end of this 16 rounds, maybe Krishna will just lift our hand and say, the winner of the day is me. We never know. Maybe he will just announce us as a winner. It may not be because of our capability. It may just be because of his causeless mercy. But his causeless mercy is awakened only if he sees our 100% endeavor. So forget about the result. Forget if at all you could not remember Krishna also when you were in the MRI scan. That's all right. Be conscious of it and keep trying. And that's about it. And Krishna will see that we are doing our 100%, and maybe he will just lift our hand and say, you are the winner. We never know. Right? So yeah, there's no hard and fast, there's no instant, you can't get it. It's not an instant Maggie. You know, if we start chanting, it's going to happen. It will happen. Over the period of time, it will happen. Krishna will bless. Krishna will bless us. And a day will come where we will remember Krishna every second. Just like we know about Arjun. You know, Arjun used to remember Krishna even when he was sleeping. When he used to sleep, then every hair from his body, Krishna's name used to vibrate. And many times being Yudhishthira had these questions in mind that why Arjun is such a favorite of Krishna. And one point of time, Krishna took them by hand in the middle of the night. And when they saw Arjun sleeping, in his every breath, there was Krishna. And then Krishna smiled. Now you know why I like Arjun so much. So he was to remember Krishna constantly, every second, every moment. And that's possible in our life also. We just need to make our 100% endeavor. We may not be capable, but Krishna is merciful. We may not be capable, but he has that quality of being merciful. He's very easily pleased. I hope that answers your question, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Mataji, and very nice example you give. Thank you so much for coming on the call and giving your association. Do you have more time for more questions, Mataji?
Yeah, maybe another two questions, one or two questions.
Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna, dear devotees, please quickly go ahead and ask questions. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, anybody has any question for Mataji?
Hare Krishna Mataji, I have one question. Mataji. Mataji, am I audible?
Yeah, you are audible. I can hear
okay.
you.
Yeah. So Mataji, one question was like, you know, at the beginning of the class itself, that non-devotees, when they are old, they are about to pass, they are depressed, and devotees have, the spirit is very lively. So now that our parents are old, how do we, one way to share is, one way to, you know, tell them this fact is by sharing our devotee story. But do you think, have anything in mind that, how do we convey to them that, you know, because I see, yes, all my relatives who are getting old, they're like always cribbing, are ye nahi hua, wo nahi hua, ye dukh raha hai wo, and including my parents and my in-laws. And I see...
What I understand your question is that how to deal with people who haven't practiced Krishna consciousness early in their life and now they are at the fag end of their life. They are complaining about things and their old age. So how do we deal with them and bring them closer to Krishna?
Yes.
Am I right? This is your question.
Yes.
The first and foremost tip that I would like to give is give them lots of love and affection. It's very important. Because sometimes, you know, I see devotees, they outrightly want to change them in a minute. Why not you chant Hare Krishna? Why are you watching TV? Abhi to chhod do TV dekhna. Come on, you chant. And they're just so forceful and they're so rough sometimes. Now, it's difficult to bend a old bamboo. If you do that, the bamboo may break, you know. They will not have, you cannot suddenly generate an interest in them in Krishna consciousness. So you have to do it so delicately. So outrightly don't criticize them or don't tell them that what you're doing is not correct. First of all, give them lots and lots of love and affection, lots of care what they want. And in fact, sometimes even give your ears to what they want to say. When they tell you, I have a pain in my knee, I have pain in my ear. Make sure that you give that compassionate hearing to them, listen to all their problems and introduce your Krishna consciousness in a very, very subtle way. Because if you just do it out front, you know, they'll be like, you know, my child doesn't care for me. Bas ek hi cheez bolta hai, Hare Krishna ko jap karo, Hare Krishna jap karo. Mera baat bhi nahi sun raha hai. I'm trying to explain that I have a pain here and he just says, chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna chant karne se ho jayega ki I'm not having digestion, I'm having this problem. So don't just go and bluntly give that. Do it in a very, very subtle way, you know. Sometimes just trying to play some background Prabhupada's kirtan. You know, nowadays we have the Prabhupada japa tapes. And then making sure that if you can give them prasadam. Because you see, Krishna consciousness can be given to people in so many different ways. It's not always direct instruction. It's not always that they need to chant. Even hearing is also one of the Navavita Bhakti. So somehow if you make sure that they are hearing Prabhupada's tape or some chanting or some class, or if you're giving them Krishna's prasad, Krishna's mercy also comes through his prasad. So even when you are physically serving your old parents, let's say you massage their feet, you are a devotee, you are chanting, by your touch also a lot of good vibrations will be passed to them. So go very slow, don't go very heavy on them because they're very old. They're very old, so if you just go, you know, very heavy on them, chalo, start chanting, concentrate your mind, it doesn't work like that. So go slow with them, give them subtle ways of Krishna's mercy, connect them to Krishna. And, you know, telling them something very light, some nice stories, and only giving them a little dose, and slowly they will cultivate taste. Now, the second question. Somebody may say, oh, I tried my best all those ways, nothing works. When I tell the story, they hear, very next moment, they're again back to their life. Oh, that's all right. That's all right. We are not worried here about any quantity. How much quantity they heard about Krishna Katha. even if your one story has made some impact in their heart, even if one time of chanting they have done with love and faith and devotion, that's all right. And to bring that quality in their hearing will come only with the way you behave and respond to them. You know, we cannot make ourselves happy by how much quantity of chanting they have done or quantity of shravanam they have done, because it's too late. They haven't done it all these years. So suddenly we can't expect any change. But slowly you do it, and you know, slowly and steadily, and see that they don't develop averseness. That will be worse. Sometimes because of our too much enthusiasm, they become averse to Krishna consciousness. That shouldn't happen. Even if they are taking it in a little quantity, go step by step and see that they get some kind of appreciation for devotees, appreciation for Krishna conscious process. And that is very important. If you can do something only if you sincerely appreciate it and you like it. Otherwise, you can't do it for a long time. Somebody can't force you and make you chant Hare Krishna. It has to be done out of love and affection, and that will come only. See, some things are not to be said. Some things are just said by our behavior. Sometimes even by our own personal behavior, they may gather so much appreciation for our Krishna conscious movement and for our organization and for our practice that we are doing, right? Sometimes it is said that your behavior speaks more louder than your words. So sometimes our own behavior should be so sweet, so exemplary, that they fall in love with this Krishna conscious process, that this is so nice. My daughter or my daughter-in-law or my son are so nice to me. So definitely there is some, you know, some essence in this Krishna conscious tattva, or their behavior is so beautiful. So like that, go slow, a little, try to give them lots of Krishna prasad. Krishna prasad can purify them a lot, and they will develop some taste for chanting, and trick them. Do it in such a subtle way that they don't realize it also that they are doing it, you know. Some songs, some chanting, and sometimes even when they are sleeping, you know, if they are bedridden, they are old, just make sure you sit next to them and chant, you know, so that it goes into their ears, even in subconscious mind. You see, we have conscious mind, we have subconscious mind, we have unconscious mind. There are 7 layers of mind. So even if we can work on that level, that's all right. If we can make sure that they are hearing, even while they're taking rest, you know, they don't know they're sleeping, just go and put a tape in their room in a slow volume so that hearing goes, you know. We shouldn't have very stubborn ideas of what it is to be practicing Krishna consciousness. There are variegated ways a person can do it, you know. So many ways they can be connected to Krishna. So we have to be more flexible, you know, in our definition of what we think is a practice of Krishna consciousness. I hope it answers your question, Mataji.
Yes, Mataji. Thank you very much.
Okay, Krishna, so if there are no more questions, we'll, yeah.
Hare Krishna. Sorry. Yeah, are you taking question or shall I?
This one last question.
Mataji, my question is, thank you for the wonderful class, first of all. And you said that, you know, we can add Krishna to everything that we do. But my doubt was, like, whatever we do, which are not directly bhakti, sorry. So how much can we do that? Like you said, you add Krishna to your business and anything. So how much of business is okay to do that does not come between, I mean, that can be, you know, transfer to, I mean, that can be, we can say, okay, this is bhakti and not exactly like, you know, mundane thing. Like how much of non-bhakti thing that we can do that we can dovetail it and not, you know, go over-indulge in it. Like the story we have that when the guru said you read Bhagavad Gita or some chant, and then he got a, then there was mouse and cat and then wife, finally he got so entangled that he could not do bhakti itself. So thinking that story, how much is okay and how much is not okay, Mataji?
I couldn't get your question so well. What I understand is you were saying that how do I know for myself whether this is taking me away from bhakti or this is taking me closer to bhakti? How do I know? That's what you are saying?
Exactly, Mataji. The things, those are like considered to be mundane and not directly bhakti. Those things when we are doing, how much is okay to do, like you said, the other Mataji, that, you know, you take care of them very nicely and, you know, you press their leg and you serve them.
You were trying to say in context of, dealing with the others, how much is bhakti and how much is overdoing it.
Yeah.
come on, I can't make any blanket statement for that. I think it's customized for everybody. It depends upon the family culture. There may be some old people who already have a background of doing some kind of a bhajan and some form of, you know, Krishna consciousness. They may be more open, but then there may be some families which have like completely never had any background of Krishna bhakti. So for them, it may be, you know, there may be some families who are very modern. They maybe hold their life. They never went to a temple. Then it is different. So I think I won't be able to comment. It's customized. It depends upon what kind of a background it is. You know, like in some houses, the old people, they watch this bhakti TV and they watch some Mahabharata, Ramayana. And even if they don't chant, they are used to reading some Quran. They will be reading some Quran. They'll be having some kind of a discussion. So there are different levels for them. And then there may be some who are completely from a different background. So it has to be customized. It has to be customized and just see how much they're able to take, how happy they are, and how much they're reciprocating. And along with the reciprocation, you just go a little more further and a little more further. This is something like, how would I know whether your stomach is full or not? You will have to say that for yourself. When you eat, you feel, yeah, now my stomach is full, I'm happy. Similarly, when you deal with the person, the opposite person, you can make out from their behavior, face, body language, response, how much is becoming too much for them and with how much they are okay. And you just continue with that. Got my point?
Yes, Mataji. Thank you so much. Yeah, Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. This is Radhika. One last question, Mataji.
Okay, but this is last.
Yes, Mataji. Okay, this is Radhika Mataji from Hyderabad. Dandavat Pranam, Mataji. Mataji, how to develop book reading for children, Mataji? I have a 12-year-old daughter. Apart from Krishna book, she's not so much into Prabhupada books, reading Prabhupada books. How to develop interest to them, Mataji?
What Prabhupada books you want her to read?
Anything, Mataji, starting with small books, Mataji. We have so many small books, right? So I thought she will start reading that.
So, how do you bring their interest in reading?
Yes, Mataji.
I guess children do what the parents do. If you are also regularly reading and if there are no other sources of distractions and entertainment, they will come back to the books. Sometimes the children are having so much access to unlimited internet and so many gadgets that proposition of reading is a little less attractive to them and they don't opt for it. But when the ambience is made in the house in such a way that then definitely, you see, children need some kind of an entertainment. And if there is no other options available, they will come back to book reading. And also, if you have really nice, interesting books, you can actually sit with her and read half of it and stop it at a juncture where it's getting interesting. And then you leave it. Then she will come back for more because she would like to know what's the ending. And if there are some classes online which are, you know, story classes or storytelling classes where they tell the stories with all kind of animations. And but then you said your child is 12 years old. So 12 means maybe 7th class, 7th or 8th grade maybe. Yeah, so 7th or 8th, is it not 7th grade? Maybe 7th or 8th grade?
8th grade, Mataji.
Yeah, 8th grade. So 8th grade means, yeah, they're quite elder. Yeah, they're quite elder, so I don't think they need animations and all. But maybe so there's so many things you can do, some kind of an appreciation. Or maybe, you know what, maybe you ask her to tell you. Actually, this Bhakti Sangha group, they have this children's class, na, where they ask the children to give classes and where they ask the children to tell stories. So maybe you can ask your daughter also, if she's not part of it, she can be part of Bhakti Sangha kids group, where she has to herself give a class or tell a story. I think that may make her enthusiastic because she has to tell it to somebody. Of course, we can't have her giving class every single day. So maybe she can give class to you. Maybe at dinner time, you can make it, that she can share what she read today. And you and your husband and everybody hear it over the table. Or maybe you can make some kind of a rule at your house that all your kids, maybe if you have one or two kids that, or maybe you and your husband, all four of you share what's your book reading today, you know, what you read special today, even if it's very short, and share it. So maybe she will look forward that, okay, I have to share what I have read today. And maybe you can give some perks, you know, usually children have become very happy when parents show a lot of appreciation. Oh, I'm so happy, or this was very nice point, or the way you explained it was very nice. I think, I mean, of course, I can give lots of tips on that, but it is. These are very new, basic tips, which is applicable for any other book reading also, you know, the way you can make the children enthusiastic about reading. So you show them by example and also appreciate them, make some kind of a rules in the house. You read it with them or sit with them, or even, you know, like in my school in Divine Touch, you know, on Saturdays we have this day called Dear Day. Dear Day means drop everything and read. D-E-A-R. Drop everything and read. So on that day, you know, the school Aya is also, she has to stop all work. She'll be also given one Telugu book to read, and teachers will be reading and children will be reading, and I will be reading in my cabin, and my coordinator will be reading, and my security guard also will be reading newspaper. Everybody has to read for that 1 hour. It's called drop everything and read. Everybody has to do it. Now we make that atmosphere for the children in the school every Saturday for 1 hour. And there are children who are non-readers, and they also start reading because they have no other option, because nobody is looking at them and nobody is talking to them. Everybody is inside, you know, their heads in the book, face towards the book, you know, and they just pick it up. So maybe you can have such kind of a rule in your house, maybe weekly twice, make it a dear day. Drop everything and read. Nobody does anything but reads. No music, no headphones, no cell phones. That 1 hour, nobody talks. Monrata, everybody reads. I mean, I'm just giving you, like, there can be just 100 such kind of a tips. Just one thing came in my mind. Or something like that. I hope it helps you, Mataji.
Yes, Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Mataji, Hare Krishna, Mataji, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, we have classes on Bhakti Sangha for all the ages, age groups, and we encourage them for reading Srila Prabhupada's books, and we have some like Bhagavad Gita classes and storytelling and craft classes. So because of that, they learn Krishna consciousness, and we encourage them for reading books, Srila Prabhupada's books. Thank you so much. You can join the group and you can see they have the same age group, so they get encouraged by the kids who are already Krishna conscious, and they also take up Krishna consciousness. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji. Sure.
भागवतम की जय हर ग्रेस शिवनी माताजी की जय
जय थैंक यू सो मच माताजी हरे कृष्ण
थैंक यू माताजी हरे कृष्ण
माताजी